It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning and welcome to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth, and we are having a very interesting and different kind of show for us. For those of you who are regular listeners of Fed Talk, we're going to spend the next 55 minutes talking with two, I think, real experts out there on the issue of mobilizing our computing devices in the federal workplace. And to talk about it, I think, you know, my perception is, and we'll hear from our guests whether they agree, that the mobilization of computing devices is really the cutting edge, is really taking place in the health industry for some obvious reasons. So we have with us, joining us by phone this morning, we have Charlie DeSano, who is with the VA. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
And Charlie's the executive director. He's got one of those computer titles, IT titles. It's executive director of Enterprise Systems Engineering for the Department of Veterans Affairs, and he's joining us by phone. And with us in the studio is Eileen Yarnoff, who is a principal at Booz Allen and a subject matter expert on healthcare, cybersecurity, and privacy. So you can see how we've paired these two up. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning.
So Charlie, I was reading a bunch of news articles posted online about what the VA is doing to bring mobile devices into the workplace, and this morning I was talking with Eileen right before the show that I wasn't necessarily that surprised to hear that if the government was, where would the cutting edge be for bringing mobile devices and using them in the workplace for the government? I really wasn't that surprised to hear it would be in the healthcare part of government services.
Well, sure. I can understand perhaps why you would be of that opinion. However, when you look at the type of business healthcare is, where doctors, providers, nursing staff is basically mobile
right
through the hospital, having that need to see the patient at bedside, on the go, doing more with less in timely fashion. Certainly mobility plays right into all aspects of proficiency, efficiencies out there in the workplace. So we're leveraging mobile technology very nicely.
Yeah, and I, you know, when you think about the alphabet soup of what's inside the beltway, all the government agencies and what they do, aside from, I remember, Charlie, hearing this a couple of years ago, that DOD was bringing mobile devices to the battlefield. And I remember thinking, you know, how cutting edge and cool that was to bring that technology to the battlefield. I'm not that surprised to hear that the other place in the government you'd want is in government hospitals. Because when they go to work, they really are mobile. And to have data available to them in their hand, what's that do? Have you predicted what it does for the efficiency and productivity of your workforce?
Well, absolutely. Typically, the VA at the Department of Veterans Affairs, going back, I'd say, 10 years ago, with our computerized electronic record, we found the need to put computers bedside. Well, obviously, running cable and putting these PC-based systems, these large systems within a bedroom was a challenge, not necessarily cost-effective, but it was the technology we had back then. And as technology miniaturized, certainly we were able to then put the power of that then computer in a provider's hands and actually be very efficient. And we're seeing efficiency numbers in 20-30% of these providers. At a pilot that we have at the D.C. hospital, we're seeing both nurses and doctors be a lot more efficient in delivery of health care.
So So what's the strategy for, it's VHA mostly, right?
Correct.
So what's the strategy for what's your mobility strategy for VHA?
Well, we have a number of pilots that are ongoing. For instance, again, at the DC pilot, which was a VA innovation contest award to one of the vendors in DC, basically writing a number of applications such as patient search, patient demographics, the problem list, labs, meds, et cetera, scheduling, where we make those applications available on an iPad, on an iPhone, and other platforms that we're currently developing too. So the strategy, you know, just with that app, those applications alone at that hospital are far-reaching, are going to have far-reaching impact. We're taking those applications and looking at bringing them to other hospitals. We're looking at other healthcare applications, mm-hmm. such as Clinic in Hand, where the provider and patient can have up to the second access to their healthcare information. These applications, very, very important in this day and age regarding people wanting to be connected with their healthcare information. People want to see the provider and want to have instant access to their information. We have another project called the Mobile Blue Button that allows, you know, the patient to see graphical information of their healthcare data. This application is written in HTML5, so available on a wide array of devices. We started with the iOS type of device a couple of years ago because we, at that point in time, that was a device to develop on that had a good mixture of access, platform, form factor, and security. And now, you know, obviously going more agnostic into perhaps a Windows 8 Slate type of form factor, an Android type of form factor, and writing in HTML5 allows us to do so.
So am I to understand the part of the strategy is not only to get data mobilized to your staff, your employees, but also for patients, patient access?
Absolutely, for patient access. And to take that one step further, the Department of Veterans Affairs and HUD basically, along with John Bon Jovi, just announced a Project REACH contest. And REACH stands for Real-Time Electronic Access for Caregivers and the Homeless, where we're going out there and challenging the world to help us write applications that bring homeless resources to the providers of homeless care. So this contest is going to allow us to, you know, make these applications available so that, you know, we every aspect of our business is going to be automated basically with the use of these types of applications, not just healthcare.
Benefits also.
Right,
VBA.
Yes.
So for a patient to have, because that to me is very interesting, because when I go into my doctor's office, I don't get to see my file.
Correct.
Right? And certainly if I went into the hospital, I would not expect to see the file they kept on me. So when you say you're going to bring information about the patient to the patient, are they getting it? Is it accessible to them only when they're in your facility? Are they getting it off of their own device? How do you see that happening?
Well, it's actually both. In first round, we're actually providing some devices to veterans, and we're striving to allow veterans to use their own device. The goal here, with the bring-your-own-device type of mentality, both internal VA mm-hmm. and to our constituency or to our client base, is to leverage the tools that they have, leverage the devices that they have.
So you're saying they could use their own device, download an app on it, and be able to have access to their patient information?
Correct.
That is really, I think it's almost revolutionary.
Yes.
Because certainly anybody listening to me today would agree, when you go to the doctor, you never get to see, you don't get their notes, their reports. You only get what they decide to give you. You barely even see your lab tests. You have somebody else telling you what the lab test showed. So it's something that Eileen and I were talking about before the show. It's the quantum of information that now people expect to have and to have at their fingertips, I think, is just revolutionary.
Well, actually, the operative word there in your sentence is expect. certainly we've seen a revolution in mobility. And, if you can go out there and use your iPad or Android device to go out and program your DirecTV or cable television, you know, why not have the ability to access your healthcare information, where if a patient is seen at the Department of Veterans Affairs and needs to print some information, some healthcare information that is his or hers, they can print from the application, they can fax from the application, et cetera. People expect to interact with their providers and all providers in electronic fashion.
It's really amazing. It's revolutionary. I have to wonder if it's VA, where's the next state? What's the next place that happens where citizens, when they deal with the U.S. government, you know, want to have access to the information that the government has on them? I really think it's potentially a revolutionary idea. And I do, you know, Charlie, Eileen and I both want to talk to you about some of the challenges that you know you're facing, going to face, or have faced, making, you know, bringing these mobile devices into the workplace. But we need to take our first break, commercial break, and Charlie will bring you back afterwards. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth. And thank you for joining us. We're talking about bringing mobile devices into government work, and we're highlighting the Department of Veterans Affairs and their program to mobilize their workplace, mostly VHA and VBA. We have with us on the phone Charlie DeSanto. He's with the VA, and he's, I believe, primarily responsible for this mobilization strategy. With me in the studio is Eileen Yarnoff with Booz Allen Hamilton. And Eileen is a subject matter health expert on healthcare, cybersecurity, and privacy. So I said, Eileen, before our break, I said to Charlie, you know, I wonder what your challenges were. And I think for anybody in and around government, particularly the VA, we know what some of his challenges were.
Right. I think a lot of the issues in the past around deployment of EHRs in general, whether they're mobile or not, there's always been this idea around security and privacy issues, specifically around the constituents in the government. You know, the consumers are worried about their privacy, et cetera.
And particularly in the healthcare industry, patient information.
Absolutely.
So Eileen, from where you sit and the work you do with the government, focusing on bringing into their IT world, particularly their healthcare IT world, security and privacy, how do government agencies go about assessing how to do that, how much they need?
Well, agencies have security programs and privacy programs, and included in those programs are risk assessments. They do risk assessments to really look at their organization and say, what is the likelihood, the threat, or the vulnerability to my infrastructure? Based on all of those elements, there's like an algorithm that can determine what the likelihood of a risk is. Now, in some cases, if the risk is a priority in the organization, then obviously that's going to get most attention to the organization. And so in the government, they try to arrange their risks associated with high to low so that they can determine what's the best use of their dollars. As we talked about before, you can't be secure. It's just impossible with all the hackers and all
You can't guarantee security.
Exactly, absolutely. But what you can do is mitigate risk. And so what government agencies do is they really look at their risk and try to determine what is the most inherent in their organization and try to deal with those first versus the risks that may not be very big priority in their business.
And how is that different from that's the cybersecurity component, I imagine.
Correct. Both cybersecurity
and privacy, mm-hmm. protecting patient information. So is it fair to say that assessment works for both, figuring out your security and figuring out how to protect patient information?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And so,
because if you think about the vulnerabilities to technology that's added, again, going beyond mobility or any type of technology that's brought into an enterprise, there are some vulnerabilities that occur.
Right.
There are some threats, obviously, out there, as we right. know, the hacktivists, et cetera. So organizations really need to determine, you know, what risks are out there and what do we want to, you know, what is the most likely of the risk, mm-hmm. and so forth. And then determine from there how they want to deal with those risks.
So Charlie, if we take that and we apply it to your organization, I assume your organization went through that kind of assessment.
Well, yes, absolutely. Not only went through it, continued to
right.
continue. Right. Exactly. This technology is revolutionary. The convergence of powerful CPU, display, form factor, communication, speed of communication, and its ability to store information is very, very powerful. Everything that's powerful needs to be controlled appropriately, and certainly no different in the mobile space. These devices can do a lot. The risk needs to constantly be assessed and reassessed, and we do that in the department. We also use tools. Certainly, I view these mobile devices as clients on my network. They go through the same rigor as any client that would attach to my network, accessing patient information, private information. So we take its form factor very seriously. It's very, very important to recognize that while these form factors can do a lot, certainly they can also put an agency, mm-hmm. an organization at risk.
And are you just talking about the bring your own device concept, or are you talking about the devices that are purchased by the VA property for the use inside a hospital?
Yeah, actually a little bit of both.
Okay.
So the bring your own device is a challenge in and of itself. But first, devices that the government provides its users, whether they're using them internally in the VA or are issued to them as a converged device, you know, a mobile phone, a paging device, text device, you know, in use of times of, you know, of need to communicate with other employees in the organization. These devices are really used for multiple mm-hmm. functions, and we have to look at it that way. So they can be subject to vulnerabilities no matter where the user is, no matter what they're doing. For instance, we have applications that certainly will help us installing applications that we may believe shouldn't be installed on a mobile device to help us with our security posture. The other important thing is that this strategy differs by platform. So our strategy for iOS is different than our strategy for Android, for instance.
So you mentioned, Charlie, the number of devices or the number of functions that someone working inside one of your hospitals might need to achieve. Is the plan at the VA, because, you know, I'm old, you remember the day of the pagers, and they
right.
were pagers,
right.
then there were pagers forever,
right.
and then it wasn't until, what, the 90s, when the late 90s for cell phones?
Sure.
Yeah. And now no one talks on the phone, right? No one uses the cell phone to talk, except my father, if he's listening. And then it's very quick. But today, people who don't even use cell phones to talk, it's just to text each other. It's replaced, because you can't carry your PC around on your back or your laptop where you would have emailed. So I think we've just exchanged emailing, you know, emailing for texting. So when you talk about all the things, the different things that people need to do in a hospital at work, is it? Are you thinking one device?
I'm absolutely thinking one device for a large segment of our user population. And actually, I coined the phrase, you know, the personal communicator. Certainly, the personal communicator is something that is utilized wherever you go in life, whether you're at home, watching television, getting in your car and getting content delivered to you, whether you're at work and seeing a patient or reading a corporate email or admitting a patient, etc. This personal device or bring your own device type of mentality shows that mobile device being intertwined in every aspect of your day-to-day life. So it's important that we view these devices as such. Now, we aren't at the point where that is necessarily the case right now, but given...
Well, there's just too much other equipment out there.
Well, there is, but as we recognize the power of these devices and as technology continues to evolve, certainly, you know, very excited with the recent announcement of slates by Intel, vendors such as Samsung, having the ability to deliver very powerful handheld devices that are 10-inch, 12-inch in form factor. These truly are desktop replacements. These truly are mobile devices where these devices can be used in a healthcare environment or in a benefits environment. Samsung has a device, we coined the phrase, a phablet, a phone tablet. And that form factor is over 5 inches. And so it is somewhere in between a phone and a tablet. So multiple form factors allow us to deliver information any place, anytime. Mm-hmm. Very powerful.
Right. But, you know, there's still so many. And Eileen, I wanted to talk to you about, there's still so many devices that people have on them in the workplace, right? They might have their own cell phone, or I'm not sure we even call it a cell phone, but their own phone. They might have their employers. And in the healthcare industry, we know they're going to have computers and then the mobile devices. When you do your consulting, right, for the healthcare user, how do they grapple with the security issues that are there layers of them, the more devices you have? Or is it all just plugging into one system, and then that one system is where all your security is going to lie?
Well, I think one of the things that Charlie mentioned, which is really important, is that he views these mobile devices as the client onto a larger enterprise. So if you think about your PC that you have as a client, your laptop as a client, these mobile devices are going to be clients. So the way that you handle the security and privacy of those devices is very similar. It's just we have a new technology that's coming in that brings a lot more vulnerability. So when you talk about somebody who has their own device, the iPhone that maybe their child is playing a game on may inadvertently download malware, then you start introducing some risk to a broader enterprise. So when we work with our clients, what we try to determine is what are the purpose of the devices, what types of users need them, because in some cases there may be users that don't need them. You know, in the case of any organization, you may have the demographic of your user base may be different. You may have the demographic of the my dad's age, I call him, that used the abacus, for example, when he was a CPA. And those users may not be apt to use this type of technology. But as you go down the chain and you have students coming out of college with this technology. So you really need to be thinking about your user base. What is the outcome that you want with this application? And talk to them about that and then determine from there what your next steps are. Because I think if you take we try to help folks just think through a process first and then determine the solution from there. It's easier to just say than just, you know, the technology is out there where you're just not going to have a device that's on a network without having somebody assign you that network.
Right. So instead of just looking at the software, hardware, devices that we know offer security, you're saying...
You need to look at the business purpose. You know, what's the business purpose of this application or this tool that I want to use? What type of users are going to be using them? What's the outcome that I want from that application?
And now, you said just a moment ago, you said that these new devices, which I think you mean the mobile devices,
correct,
are introducing a new level of a new level of issues for security. Why is that?
Well,
is it just for the bring your own device? that you're talking about?
I think so. I think for me, that's for me. I think that. I think, you know, when you if you have someone who's being issued a device from a government agency or any organization, then you have more control over that device. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just like if you equate it to your desktop that's being issued by your organization or your laptop that's being issued by your organization. I think where the risk comes in is if you have somebody who's bringing their own device that may or may not have the understanding of what that device is using for example, as I mentioned, you know, there have been situations where my father has an iPhone. He doesn't have a password on it because he thinks it takes too much time. You know, in his user experience, he doesn't want to put the password in. However, if he doesn't put the password in, you know, his work emails is
very easily accessible because everybody knows how to use the iPhone.
So where you issue, you know, and I'd be interested in Charlie's perspective, but if you issue hardware from your own organization, you can control it a lot easier than perhaps someone bringing in something from home. Now, there are technologies out there that do allow you to control it and so forth. There's, you know, the MDM, mobile management systems that are out there that can help. But again, it really goes out to, you know, what is that purpose and what do you want to use it for and who's that user base so that you can start thinking through what those solutions would look like.
Charlie, is that what your organization, does that sound like how your organization approached it?
Well, yes, certainly agree, and I'll expand a little bit. Remember that anything new in IT is something that needs to be reckoned with.
It's a good word.
You know, and you know, we can talk about the commoditization of IT. What we've seen over the last 10, 15 years is the user base from the consumer market driving what occurs mm-hmm. in an enterprise. So IT organizations wake up one day and here are people demanding to use, you know, mobile devices such as iPhones and Androids, et cetera. Well, what does IT do? Even in the vendor space, the vendors are really trying to play catch-up regarding robust tools to manage the enterprise, to manage these mobile devices. I mentioned,
you sort of get that sense, Charlie. You know, yeah. you articulated a feeling, an impression that I think lots of us who are not in the IT field, but who obviously no one who goes to work in America today and isn't somehow, you know, using an electronic device, you sort of get the sense that there was just this blast of new technology,
right,
and how to control it. From the perspective of, let's say, the employer, if you're using it in the employer, is like we're barely keeping up with you.
Correct. But I will say this, that the CIOs that stand out, the more successful ones, are predictive of this technology mm-hmm. wave. And our CIO, Roger Baker, and the Undersecretary for Health, Randy Petzl, and VHA, and the Secretary and the Deputy Secretary, along with IT, certainly wanted to move in a direction of mobility. And we knew that people would demand these types of devices. And it's no longer acceptable for IT to say no. Mm-hmm. It's to say yes, and let's see how we can get there. You know, the risk proposition is where it's at. You have to examine the risk and then architect systems to ensure that we can deliver these systems. The mobile device management application, the MDMs are in place, certainly to control the encryption, the safety, removal of applications, remote wipe, and things like that. But certainly in the mobile space, the tools that are required to fully manage that risk is nowhere near the tools that we have to manage the risk on desktop computers mm-hmm. or anything in the enterprise space.
Because the desktop's been there. Is it, you know, am I dating myself? Is it 20 years? But it's basically, right, 20 years, right?
About
20 years since the desktop. But I have some other questions that I want to ask you about this, Charlie, but we need to take our mid-show break. So hang on, Charlie. We'll be back with you. For our listeners, you're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
GEICO's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from GEICO. If you're a federal employee, or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount.
Or if you belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
I'm Bill Bransford, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Fed Talk brings you inside information on hot topics in the federal community. From the halls of Congress to federal agencies, get the latest on the laws, regulations, and activities that directly impact federal employees. Tune into Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM as we bring in the experts to bring you inside the issues.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth. And if you're just joining us, we have spent the last 35 minutes talking with two real experts in the field of the sort of evolution, revolution of, in the federal workplace, of mobile devices and where they're, where you're seeing them, how you're seeing them, how they're being used, and all the challenges that that the IT community faces with the mobilization of computing. So with us on the phone is Charlie DeSanto. He's with the Veterans Administration. And with me in the studio is Eileen Yarnoff. She is a principal at Booz Allen Hamilton, who specializes in cybersecurity and patient privacy information issues for the healthcare industry. And right before our break, Eileen, Charlie said that, you know, we were talking about that what technology can do and what people want it to do and have found they can do with it is feels like sometimes it's outpacing what the security, what we can do to manage it. And he said that there's a shift now, right, in the community that, you know, the IT people can't just come in and say no. People won't accept that.
Right. And I would add to that is the security people can't say no either anymore. You know, in the days years ago when you first started with security, a lot of folks didn't want us in the room because they thought they couldn't get their jobs done because of security. But what we try to really instill in our clients is that you can, there's, you can enable the technology using security mechanisms. If you start early, if you understand what your policies are, if you understand what kind of data you're collecting. And so, you know, we encourage to get the security folks, the IT security folks together, the other parts of the IT organizations, the privacy folks together at the beginning to really think through these because it really is a matter of accepting risk. It's not a matter of just saying no because of no's sake. And so it really needs to be thinking through what the organization's mission is, what they want to achieve, and then what risk they're willing to accept.
Right. And then certainly at the VA with the a few years ago with the loss of the laptop and all of the attention and concern it brought, you get the sense that they don't say no to their security people. They get it. They understand the need for security. One of the things, though, Eileen, that I thought it was very interesting that you talked about with me before the show was a whole way of bringing security into the workforce for a whole lot less dollars. Because you think about security as these platforms that involve software and hardware. And you're a big advocate of just really hardcore training.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there are layers. And before the break, you had talked about layers of security. There are absolutely layers of security. There's elements of it from a people side, you know, training, policies, and things like that, as well as an operational side. How does your organization run, not just from an IT perspective, but overall? And then, of course, the technology side. And, you know, there's a lot of vendors out there who sell the technology, which is really good technology. But if you don't have the policies or procedures or know where your data stands or rests in your enterprise or know what it's being used for, who can have access to it, it really doesn't help the technology do its purpose very well. So what we, you know, advocate is really looking at from a quote-unquote holistic basis, which in our terms really thinks through the people, process, and the technology perspective. And in one area that we talked about, what we find is that simple training of users because they don't understand or may not they don't understand what their role is in protecting that data. And we know that many agencies, VA included, have large privacy programs and training programs so that they can teach their users what their you know, what their actions are in terms of the impact of the enterprise.
Right.
And Charlie, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And in actuality, it was the 2006 laptop loss that actually allows us to do things like this in the VA today, because we undertook a significant training program. Sure, it was coupled with significant investments in bolstered security tools and automation and logic, intelligence. However, it was the education, what's expected of me as the user. And so people are attuned to the security aspects today here in 2012, and actually allows us to implement these types of mobile devices.
Mm-hmm. And so when you think about, I'm sort of interested, Eileen, you think about there's security and patient privacy, and patient privacy for patient information, right? And they clearly go hand in hand. So, you know, 20 years ago or more, when patient information was mostly kept paper, on paper, they had issues of patient privacy, but they weren't expansive because it really was whether or not you could touch the file?
Well, if you think about the internet, you know, once you put data out there, it's out there. Okay. So the difference is if your paper, if your my record in my doctor office is in that office.
Right.
Now, of course, if it is taken somewhere else, then that risk expands. But in the internet world, in the world of, you know, e-commerce, you know, once that data is out in that area, that ecosystem, then it's out there.
Right, right.
And it's hard to take back. So that's the difference in my perspective.
Right. So Charlie, back to you and what the VA is doing with these mobile devices. I'm sort of curious about this aspect of the system. So let's assume you're rolling out mobile devices inside hospitals that are government owned, right? Not just bring your own device.
Correct.
And so how do you ensure that the device you give to Dr. So-and-so, is it his device or her device? How does that, because that's where the information doesn't actually reside on it. I remember reading in one of the articles, Charlie, that they're just readers, that the information's somewhere else. But they could use the device to gain access and read. So I assume you have some sort of process in place that when you're handing out a device, it's to a particular person, right?
That's correct.
And then is it their device? Is it their device to do as they want?
We could. We have various models. We have providers and others that share devices. We have devices that are assigned. It depends on the work class, right? So these devices can be generic. As you said, information is not really stored on them. So I'm not worried about a device getting lost with sensitive VA information on them. But we go one extra mile. They're certainly encrypted. The email that we may give access to is encrypted also. So we have various models, and we're trying to build that bring your own device scenario where the person who has Angry Birds, for instance, loaded on their iPhone.
I think everybody does.
Exactly. And can certainly access VA systems in secure fashion. The Department of Defense has a significant project on the way that allows both Android and iOS devices to operate in this fashion. So sandboxing, if you will, taking a portion of a user device and ensuring that, you know, what we do within that partition is secure, that's coming into place. We have a secure app store that is online. In fact, companies like Cisco actually have had for a long time a personal device bring your own program where they can access tools internally in the organization, and you know employees can buy a device, have Cisco pay for it, if you will, and use tools to have them do their job on a device that is shared.
Right, and that's you know, that one of my questions about bring your own device, because we publish a weekly e-report, and it's posted online and has a website. And Cisco, it's called Fed Manager, and Cisco writes a monthly column for us, and it's called Tech Tips. And so I believe it was last month or the month before, John Carney, He's our tech tipper from Cisco. And he wrote, and it's designed to go out to the federal community. And so he wrote a whole column on the concept of BYOD, bring your own device. And it was, and I was saying this to Eileen before the show, it's an IT column. So it was very focused on the issue of security, and the issues that you might face with a device that you did not issue, you the employer, you the government agency did not issue, coming into the workplace, but you're going to allow it to interface with your system. So it was very focused on those tech issues. And I sort of started from the employer policy issues. And I'm curious, Charlie, what you think about it. Why do you want them to bring their own device into the workplace?
Well,
where's the benefit to the employer?
Okay, well, it's twofold. First, it's believed that with a bring-your-own device, we will be able to save money on the issuance of devices. But it actually goes further than that. We believe that people want to bring their own devices.
Oh, they do.
Right. People don't want to have many devices in their pocket or pocketbook. At the end of the day, you know, and getting back to the personal assistant, a personal device is going to be required to interact with your day-to-day affairs, whether at work or at home. Let's not think about what's occurring just today, but within the next few years, pointed, delivered content just for you will be, you know, displayed on your device, delivered to you. Google is working on a number of things, such as Google Glass, where, you know, content delivered right to your, you know, to your eyes as you're walking down the block, incoming calls, text messages, etc. That's hard to do with dual devices. Am I getting a message from work? Am I getting a message from my wife? So this convergence is very important. Yes. So we're talking about saving money? Sure. Are we talking about...
Except when the employee's personal device breaks or becomes outdated, do they look to the employer to replace it?
That's a challenge, right? What happens if the employee that day does not show up with their converged device that they have them using as a desktop also?
Right.
These are challenges. Another challenge is in the VA, the inspector general, for instance, may need to commandeer a device and do discovery. Well, what happens if, you know, that's a personally owned device? So right now we're working through that, and we're of the mindset of saying yes instead of no and getting it to work.
That's Eileen's mantra, is you got to say yes.
Right. Well, it's true. A CIO will not survive these days by saying no. The groundswell will occur, and you will be in a position of having less security when people just walk in the building with them. So address the policy now, make changes. And I also coined the phrase "ride the wave" and make sure that you don't crash in the wave. At the end of the day, you have to be predictive, and that's what we're trying to do with the department.
I still have more questions about that, Charlie, and I want to get back to that. But we have to take the final break of our show. We'll bring you back in about a minute, Charlie. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall, and I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com. Then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth, and it's the last 10 minutes or so of our show this morning, where we've spent the last 50 minutes talking to two real experts in the field on the mobilization of the federal workplace, starting with the VA. We have Charlie DeSanto from the VA. We have Eileen Yarnoff from Booz Allen Hamilton. And Eileen, you and I were talking before the show about the issues that I was just sort of building on there which was, you know, you bring your own device into the workplace. Do you really want those devices in the workplace? And, you know, helping employers figure out the strategies. My view was, remember, was, you know, I get what Charlie's saying is people do want their lives to be completely and utterly integrated. So they want to be able to see on the same device what's happening at work, what's happening at home. I say in many instances, isn't it just a distraction to have that personal device really sending them all kinds of information that you couldn't get sent, you know, if you were sitting in an office, or we traditionally think of government work as sitting in an office doing something that you didn't get 20 years ago. 20 years ago, that kind of information from the outside was just not bombarding you.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I talked about that.
Yeah. I think that, you know, with the information coming in, you know, years ago, we didn't have that as an option. Now we do. And so I think that there's is really some pluses and minuses, you know, as we talked about, you know, years ago when we, you know, my father's organization was using email, and he kept saying, well, they're going to, you know, email their friends. And it's like, you know, that's fine as long as it outweighs itself in terms of efficiencies. And I just think that it will outweigh itself in terms of efficiencies. You know, the data is coming. It's going to bring together more educated thought processes to people. They'll be able to have data-driven outcomes. And, you know, there is a semblance of saying, hey, you know, yeah, there's a little bit of yours as to being someone who's social mediating while they're working. Is that what you were?
Well, I'm not sure it's just social media. It's just a wealth of information out there.
Well, you can choose to accept it or you choose not. Mm-hmm. That's what's so great about technology. I mean, you if you're a person that doesn't want to have that, you don't have to have that. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is there are users out there that want that information, and you need to offer it to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's distracting to you, and we talked about different demographics again, you know, some folks just don't like those scrolling things. Well, they can choose to turn it off. But I think the key is having it available to the users that want it, because in the end, I think it's going to, in my personal opinion, it's going to add more value and make people more educated in terms of their thought process.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, that seems to be what you were saying before the break.
Yeah, you know, it comes down to personal preference. You know, my role in the department is to ensure that the infrastructure and systems are there so that we could be competitive and run the business dynamically. We're seeing our clients, veterans, certainly want to communicate with the VA in that way, using many methods of communication and not necessarily the traditional methods. We need to be ready. We need to be predictive. And that's why we're one of the leaders in federal government right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Charlie, here's my question. We have just about 7 minutes left, right? So there's a big rollout that the VA is going to be going through to bring these the iPad and tablet devices to its workforce. And I get that. I think it's got to make your hospital staff much more efficient. But when I think about the budgetary crisis is the wrong word, but the debates that go on in this town about the federal budget and the deficits and the debt and the inability to reach any kind of agreement, how does the VA, how do you deal when you're rolling out such new technology? How do you deal with that when you expect tightening budgets?
Good question. From the Secretary Shinseki down to the CIO Roger Baker, certainly do more with less, be mm-hmm. innovative. But when you're innovative, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're increasing prices, that your budget needs to go up. Actually, we're eliminating a lot of devices such as laptops. And
that's what I figured.
Exactly. And getting efficiencies in other areas. We have a cap budget to a degree. We have our role in the federal space to ensure that we're spending taxpayer dollars wisely. So through innovation has to meet a very strong business need, and it has to give us that edge. Otherwise, why do it? It is not technology for technology's sake. It's technology to save money, deliver better services, and more efficiently and effectively, and we believe we're doing that.
So tell us about your rollout. How do you expect to roll out the amount of tablets that you plan on doing?
Sure. So, it comes first with agreements with vendors, with contracts, to ensure that these devices come in prepped, that VA doesn't have to activate them. And right there, I just explained an efficiency. My workforce is not going to be touching them excessively. The mobile device management application will catalog them, inventory them, make sure they're secure. We have policies out there as to who gets them, how they get them, what the process is for break fix. We also have the applications that I talked about prior developed and in process of being developed, additional ones and other contests that are going on. And so those rollouts continue to go. We continue to grow. We continue to try to determine where best these products fit. We're excited as to what the future offers. We're excited with products such as Windows 8 and the Slate devices and bringing our application base to a number of platforms. And again, preference is what's important. So the rollout's going well. We're gaining efficiencies. The surveys, we collect information as to how we're doing. The providers and other administrators love interacting with the device. We have, it doesn't stop at healthcare. Benefits, memorialization, and executive management and administration for use of email, office productivity, it doesn't stop. But the link to the end business goal needs to be there. It needs to be efficiencies, otherwise you don't do it.
Yeah, and the reality is that these tablets are a lot less expensive than PCs and laptops ever were, and I suspected that you were going to say that's the new technology, and if you're getting a tablet, you're in all likelihood not getting a laptop.
We have a policy on the book on the books from the CIO Roger Baker that you will turn in your laptop once you get this. Yes, exactly.
And because the workforce and technology has a life cycle, and
that's
so
right.
They would have been getting something
absolutely.
New.
There's a budget in there anyway, so they're kind of
they would have gotten something new anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So in our last few minutes, Eileen. What's your opinion on whether security solutions and procedures have kept pace with all of this mobile technology?
I think that, for as fast as the pace can be, I think that there's some solutions, the little slow going, rolling out. But, in this area of technology, you can't rest on your laurels. I mean, there's always going to be new threats and into the enterprise. I think we're doing as best as can be expected. The tools are out there, as Charlie mentioned, and VA is using a lot of them that can control these new technologies to help them at least mitigate the risk that bring those to bear. So I think that the technology, as best as it can, the vendors, and if you would have talked to me about, I guess, 8 months ago, there might not have been as many vendors that had these solutions as there are now.
Wow.
Least package. Well, I think it's a matter of packaging. And in my perspective, I think they have the solutions. It's how they package them to the market.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an interesting, I know Booz Allen, we have a huge investment on looking at these technologies to figure out, what the solutions are, how to develop applications in that environment so that we can help our clients to make sure that they use the right choices. Because the key thing that Charlie said is it's about competitiveness. Our clients are both federal and commercial. So, it's out there. The technology's there. You need to be innovative. If you're not, you're going to lose competitiveness. And so you have to move forward.
So when you think of all of these security procedures that are clearly necessary for the mobilization of the way we compute and data, is it a nuisance? Do you think it's actually going to hinder care, the healthcare, or do you think it's the security aspect, hinder it or help it?
I think it's going to help it if you do it correctly. If you include those risks and that integrated security solution at the beginning to the end, it's going to help it.
Mm-hmm. And we have about 30 seconds.
Sure.
Your advice to organizations as they mobilize?
Just think through the solution properly. I mean, there's many solutions. There's ways to mitigate risk, and just think through it before you dive into it.
Right. From the beginning, have a good plan. Charlie DeSanto from the Veterans Administration, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Best of luck. We're going to be watching that. Eileen Yarnoff from Booz Allen, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.